At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
NXT No Mercy 2024. This is the Wrestling Inc. podcast. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined by Flobo Boyce. And tonight, we are talking about everything that happened at the last PLE of the USA NXT era. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it is pretty weird. Like, I didn't think that NXT should have been 2 hours in the first place. And now it's on a second network. Crazy.
I know, it's crazy. Man, and we saw tonight Halloween Havoc is going to be the end of October, back to being a PLE. Mm-hmm. I wonder with the CW if we're not going to see these, PLE-esque TV specials weekend.
Well, I was assuming if they care about it being on television, that you're going to get something for sweeps. So November might be something like Super Brawl or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, a lot happened tonight. Some surprises, some things not really surprising. We're going to run it down and talk about everything. We had a new debut tonight. We had one set of titles change hands.
Mm-hmm.
We had a surprising win from a non-NXT talent, non-current NXT talent.
Surprising?
Well, kinda. We're going to talk about that more. Is there any news we got to get to?
Not today. We're going to go right to the PLE stuff.
Yeah, it's Sunday. It's a holiday weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Or we could just say that next week when they're all in or all out is going to be covered by Wrestling Inc., Jack Farmer, and Emily Ming. They're going to be combined next week. Nice. There's no news.
Yeah, so I was flipping channels 2 hours before NXT No Mercy and saw that the Movieplex 80s channel was showing the movie Tender Mercies. And I'm like, oh, this will be a fun little back-to-back thing. And then I watched 2 hours of Robert Duvall as an alcoholic country singer trying to get his act together. So I was just kind of bummed out by the time No Mercy started.
Yeah, I could have told you that. What were you doing that for?
He won an Oscar. He won an Oscar for that film.
Doesn't matter. You're going to be bummed out.
That was kind of a bummer.
It doesn't even like become surprisingly bummy. It's like it starts off like, yo, this is pretty.
Yeah,
pretty.
But I thought it'd be nice. I was like, Tender Mercies, No Mercy would be good, you know? before that, we watched the original The Boy movie, which I hadn't seen before. They made the sequel Brahms the Boy 2, and that was kind of fun, kind of like very Bad Ronald-esque. But no, it was lazy Sunday at the Rubenstein household.
Yeah, the complex.
Yes, the complex. It was good though. So let's talk about No Mercy. Tonight, Colorado, first PLE in Colorado in like 20 years.
Yeah, Vic Joseph was excited about it before Booker T showed him up. Yeah, man.
Booker brought it tonight. He was on.
I agree. I absolutely agree. I've learned to like Booker, even though sometimes he frustrates me. But tonight, I think he was pretty much on point.
He brought back a few You Gotta Love It. It's been a while. Gotta Love It has been a little retired in recent years. Semi-retired.
Oh, yeah.
That was nice. But we opened tonight with Chase U versus Fraxium. You know, isn't it weird that I was saying Fraxium for like 2 months on this podcast?
It was weird.
Now they're all saying Fraxium?
Yeah. I don't like it. But, you know, I'll never put you over, though.
No, but it's just strange coincidence. anyhow, Fraxium versus Chase U. And Chase U defending those tag team titles. What did you think of this match before we get into discussing the controversial ending?
Well, I'm torn because of two different things, and we'll get to the ending in a second. But I've always said on these podcasts that I like Nathan Frazier and asked him to be separate. I never liked them as a tag team, but now they're stronger than ever. Full sticks as tag team champs. And Chase U, they're kind of long in the tooth. I think the Ridge Holland story was kind of being interesting to see how they're going to fare as a team. During the match itself, they had a unique chemistry for the group, so it was cool to see it. But then the ending happened the way it did.
No, I think, in fact, Ridge and Andre Chase wrestled a winning match. They wrestled a very, very good match. There was great in-ring chemistry with Fraxium. When they lost, though, and Frazier and Axiom reclaimed those titles, I said, okay, something is happening after this with Chase. You don't have them on their little funk that they've been in. They rewin the titles. Chase Hughes got the big mo again, and then they lose. Something is happening. Now, my hope and dream was that Thea Hale was going to kick everybody in the nuts and go mega heel.
Mega heel?
Yeah, well, if you kick everybody in the nuts, oh, you're going mega heel.
I think NXT has too many heels, right?
Yeah, but Thea Hale as a nut kicking heel, that would have been amazing. That did not happen, though. Yeah. And instead, they went for a little more obvious choice where Ridge Holland beat everybody up, tried to put Andre Chase through a table, but that table had a little bit of a delayed reaction, which we'll talk about.
Doesn't work for me, brother.
But Ridge did this redemption angle with Chase U. He showed up in NXT. It was a terrible angle where he's talking about his real life incidents of injuring people in the ring, talking about his bad luck. Yeah. He was quite the sad sack for a while, and then he found redemption and love through Chase U.
I've hated that since day one, but let's cut all that out. Just let's pretend for a second that Ridge showing up as being a guy reinstated. Imagine his entire career didn't exist. So he sees Thea Hale, says, you reminded me of my, first it was daughter, then it was niece. You sign up for a school that we don't know what you teach. You kick out the people who were fighting. You go behind their back. You get them a tag team title opportunity that you got, you caused. You lose the rematch and you get mad. And I wonder, who am I rooting for? Chase U has always been a transitional group. They've never held anything for any point of time. You get the championships, and now you're instantly upset. I go, who am I rooting for after this? Chase U, because they're kind of old and stale, or Ridge Holland, because he's flip-floppity like the Big Show?
I think Ridge did have his redemption, and as we all learned, learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. But I think with Chase U, the challenge that we have now is that they just did we've lost our way. We don't know what's going on. Andre Chase has a gambling problem. Thea Hale, you know, with the JC Jane thing, yeah, she felt like she came out on the other end of that a little affirmed, but she didn't get the mega win or to ascend to the next level. Like Chase Hughes, to have Ridge do this and just cause more strife with Chase, this is like, it just feels a little redux on this, and I'm hoping this is just a 1 month thing until a month from today on the CW. Chase U gets some creative direction.
You are putting way too much stock in CW. It's not going to solve this problem. It's Chase U was kind of stale. It needed something new and fresh. Unfortunately, the new and fresh agent was Ridge, and then they cut that out. So I kind of go like, why is Chase U even a thing?
I know. No, CW can't say that. Yeah. No, I think this is bad for Chase U because Chase U has had this storyline of, you know, first it was the money and then with JC Jane, and then it was like, oh, everything's going to be good again. Yay. And then it was, you know, just sort of the malaise, and then, oh, we won the champs. Everything's going to be good again. And now Ridge betrayed them. And so it's like, hey, we're just kind of down. You know, where do they go from here? What's the redemption arc?
I know I'm being too harsh on Chase U, and I kind of like it. I love the whole U thing, but is it a fear of putting Andre Chase in some tights? Like it's okay to end a faction and say, hey, look, it was great. Give the heart. Cause I can tell you one thing, as much as I can complain about this match here today, it was actually pretty good as it was going. I'm like, man, Andre Chase can really grow, really go. Why not give him a chance to be a wrestler and not a Bobby? What is his name? I was like Bobby Knight.
Bobby Heenan.
Bobby Heenan character. No, the coach. Bobby Knight, the chair guy.
Oh, Bobby Knight. Yeah. Bobby Brown. All the Bobbies I can think
That's
of.
My prerogative. Yeah.
But they gotta do something. So I mean, what's the end of this arc? Is it Andre Chase beats Ridge in a 1-on-1? Is it Duke Hudson beats Ridge in a 1-on-1? Where does the story go from here?
They should just have a clean break, but yes, it will be a gauntlet necessarily. Rally Osborne goes, I knew it, you were real. He loses. Duke Hudson, he loses. Andre Chase says, I have to put this down. It's my fault that he beats Rich Holland. But at the same time, it goes, well, who are you defending? Chase U is a tarred educational institution, and Rich Holland is somebody I can't think of anyone right now watching who's a big Rich Holland fan.
No.
So who is going to root for Ridge is the question I have.
No, and JC Jane has a, you know, arguable legal claim to chase you, certainly a financial stake. But with Ridge, yeah, it's just I think they're overestimating the audience investment in Ridge. Now, that being said, you could say that because Chase U is beloved by the NXT universe, that this does get Ridge over because they dislike Ridge because of this. Whereas before it was like, you're just kind of sad and boring.
Right.
But now he's despicable.
But now putting his backstory back in, you really haven't addressed that. So I don't know. Like I want everyone to do well. I'm not here to sit here and poo-poo anyone's effort, but I just had this old guy showing up like, I'm taking your classes now, and then beating up the teachers. It's just weird.
Solid plot line for a movie, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Movie of the week.
Yeah. Okay, so we had a Fatal Influence vignette. How are you feeling about the name Fatal Influence?
It is a toxic attraction, AI generated, other and similar names. Like, I hate it because I see Fatal Influence and I don't say Fatal Attraction, which is not Toxic Attraction or the movie Fatal Attraction. And I still understand of, we hate rookies, but we adopted one. Okay.
See,
sounds like a you problem, really. Like, why should you be mad?
Pretty Deadly makes sense as a name, and it's clever. Fatal Influence, like, they're influential in a way that will kill you.
Right. So that's a problem I have with a lot of faction names, because Fatal Influence sounds like they're going to do the psychological thing, but they're not. They're a bully gang, much like how the Final Testament sounds like they're a biblical gang, but they're not. Or the fact that Schism sounded like they're a division, but they're not. They're just all these damage control. What damage are they controlling? They're not. But
I thought they went to damage and control with damage, or control the amount of damage that they're doing.
Why would you do that if you're the one?
I don't
the
know.
Damage?
It doesn't make sense. It's weird.
Nothing makes sense. Glad, get me off this ride.
I know they need to. They need to think about these a bit more.
Yeah.
That when I see the words together, because I have like a mild dyslexia, like I'm not even gonna say what word I see. I see it forming a word together, and I'm just like,
can you text it to me? Because now I'm just curious.
Yeah, it's just it's not something you would want to call a faction. So anyhow, yeah, that vignette was fine, but I like the thing with JC and Fallon, and when they're talking about, hey, we did this, but now you bring in all these NIL people because they have followers. That's good. That's a good angle. Fatal Influence is just a bad name. Now, unless they're saying because they have followers that the NIL people are the fatal influence on NXT because they're influencers.
Right.
Yeah, trying to kill the wrestling in NXT. But that makes no sense as a faction name.
So, like, I get the idea on paper, right? You're a bunch of veterans, and you like the fact that you plied your craft, but yet all these NIL stuff comes in. I get that on the surface. But week to week, you're going to run into problems because some characters are presented as NIL talents and some are not. So now the audience is going to have a running tally. Like, Obafemi is NIL, but I don't think of him as one. Not saying Fallon Henley would beat him up, but I'm just saying. So when Fallon Henley beats him up, I have to go, oh, I forgot. She, Carly Bright, NIL. That's why. And it's a thing you can't visually see quickly. It may become confusing.
Okay. Then we had Wesley versus Zachary Wentz. And, hey, a TNA talent got a big victory on a PLE. Zachary Wentz won this match.
Yep. With Trey Miguel's help.
It was good. I thought, and I would have liked, but I guess because of the Trey Miguel factor, it would have been weird. I thought after this, because they wanted a big PLE moment, I thought HBK or Triple H, someone would have come out and be like, hey, here's an NXT contract again.
Yeah, that would be Clark.
You can't do that to Trey Miguel, because then it's like, sorry, Trey.
Yeah, I get that makes sense for sure.
This is a great match, though.
I like the match, and I do think the right person won because, you know, Zachary Wentz was the one who was wrong. So he got his pound of flesh, as CM Punk said. But I joked about this on Twitter or X. I go, man, if you're a Wesley fan, his win-loss record has been abysmal since returning back to NXT. Like, how many times can Wesley lose until you go, yeah, be quiet. And that's, I thought, I was feeling that going into this match where it was like, you're not my brothers anymore, but they came to help you out after a loss and you lose to them. And I go, well, why would they even want to be your brother if you just kick their butts, you know?
So where does Wesley go from here?
He doesn't. And that is a the unfortunate thing about all of this. Losing to Zach Wentz, as cool as it is, as cool as that favor to TNA and showing that we're not going to totally bury your talent and what's that important, I cannot see him in the short term coming out and being seen as a credible threat. He's already burned his chances in the North American title division. He's not really going to be in the NXT title division because we'll talk about the reasons why. He has nowhere to go.
I think he gets one more shot at that NXT title and then gets called up.
I mean, possible. Well, I mean, if you're going to have a call up out of season, there is a Heritage Cup, though. But again, that's okay. Kind of things about before and after. The match itself, pretty entertaining. Right. It was interesting that they were in the second match slot, which is usually the best slot for the PLEs. But
that was hot.
Yeah, I liked it. And I think it kind of burned the Women's North American title match because I think the crowd was kind of burnt out after that. But other than that, man, it was pretty solid top to bottom.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farm with the Wrestling Podcast, and a few years back, WWE sold a New Day-themed kit where people could make unicorn horn-shaped popsicles. They don't make them anymore, but you can still make your own popsicles, even without the kit, and get top-tier hydration in the process. In these post-SummerSlam dog days, Liquid IV is offering refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet to keep you cool and give you 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV is always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's great for a road trip to No Mercy or watching All In at home. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
It was interesting that backstage then Wes and Trey talking about Rascals going after the tag titles, going after Fraxium, which set up there could be a triple threat with Gallus, Rascals, and Hank and Tank.
Hank and Tank, man. Hank and Tough, those guys.
I know. And whenever I see the one of them, I'm just like, is that Joe Gacy? No, it's not Joe Gacy.
That's Tank Ledger.
Yeah, I know.
It's just kind of funny. They might just drop their names, like your last names, like Otis Dujovic and Tucker Knight. Remember those guys?
No.
Heavy Machinery?
Yes.
I don't know. You're kind of like, okay.
No.
Hey.
No, I think Wes and, Wes and Wentz. That's what I was getting. My mind was like, Wes and Wentz. Wes and Zachary Wentz, Nash Carter, put on a great match.
Nash Carter. I love Vic Joseph's reference there.
It was good to see Wentz get a win. So Wentz now has gotten 2 wins. Mm-hmm. This is TNA talent NXT.
Interesting. That he's kind of like in both universes, right? He's the Spider-Man of it all.
Well, and I like that he brought out the X Division Championship. NXT brass, you know, allegedly no hard feelings, softened on some of the circumstances regarding his release 2 years ago. You know, understanding that was, so a little more circumstantial than a anything longstanding or super long-term concerning. So I don't know. I mean, like, yeah, I think he could be back in NXT. I think that very well happen, but you got to do something with Trey Miguel as well. You can't have him be the odd man out. Yeah. But then we did go right into Kalani Jordan versus Wendy Choo for the NXT Women's North American Championship. I thought Wendy Choo had this for a good portion of this match.
Absolutely.
That was, she was very dominant.
It was with Kalani's second defense. Yeah. And I thought it'd be all Wendy Choo, but I walk away with this one with a lot more questions than answers. I feel bad for Kalani because she looked like she was swinging for the fences. It looked like she wanted to do a home run. It was a double. That is the best year out baseball reference for those who watch. And so the crowd didn't really give her the kind of heat all the other matches did. And if you're a performer, you're probably going to think that you failed, you weren't as good, or your match was dull, but it totally hit all the marks. The thing is I have is Wendy Choo does not win. Then she gets choked out by Tatum Paxley. And I go, is Wendy Choo dead, undead again? Is she going to go away? Is she going to get repackaged? Because, like, how do you invest in Wendy Choo after something like that?
I mean, Tatum left her a doll.
Oh, yeah, of course. I'll come back for that, for sure. I love my own merch.
No, I thought this match was really good. I think with Kalani, though, it's going to get a little more challenging because of all the women in the ladder match. Like, I think Sol Ruka, obviously, you know, is a huge crowd favorite. I think that Wendy is a huge crowd favorite. I think Kalani is still finding her way. I think this title is a good opportunity for her, but I think they need to do a little bit more to build up her character and get her over. Or else it's just she's swimming upstream if she keeps going against people that the crowd wants to see win.
So this is why it's so hard, because the whole point of the North American Women's Championship is to say, hey, look, it's baby steps. It doesn't have to be yourself in the women's division. So we're seeing that. I mean, this is the first time we're having an angle with Kalani Jordan. So your first angle on TV, it's not going to be great. The Sol Ruka thing was kind of like a, I chose you. So it's fine. The match was fine. Yeah. Everything was fine. If it was on NXT TV, it would have slapped, as the kids say, but you're on a PLE and all the matches around you. You went after the TNA crossover and before Obafemi and Deon D'Angelo's Haas match. It was like a weird spot to be in. The crowd was already burnt out and it didn't look that good. So I feel like she's making the progress, but people are going to walk away and be like, that was the worst match of the night. Forget it.
They put her in a bad position. And by the flip side, but let me talk about the opportunity for a second. I think Obafemi showed a lot of potential, but Oba with that North American championship is a made guy now. Like, he has the gravitas. He has the presence. He's had the dominant physical defenses. Like, Obafemi started that with them giving him an opportunity, and now he's a bona fide superstar.
It's been an unfair comparison because he's 6'7", 3'10", and he already has a look, feel, and character built in. Kalani Jordan was a good person, was athletic, but Obafemi is literally calling himself Oba, which is Yoruba for ruler. Like, that to me already puts him miles ahead of where Kalani Jordan is right now.
But so what I'm saying though is Kalani needs to find what's her opportunity to level up, no pun intended, and take this championship and get over with the crowd. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know, we see this problem with a lot of inaugural champions in WWE. It's like you have a piece of new metal. They're giving it to you. Remember when Tyler Bate was UK champion? What does it mean? And I think that that's kind of the title's fault. It's kind of Kalani's fault, and it should do it over time. My question or concern is with so many women coming in and so many women looking for opportunities, especially with Jada Parker maybe coming back down to that division, you have a very small window to figure that out, or else you're going to be an afterthought.
And by the way, I say that also because, you know, and this is part of NXT not doing Kalani any favors. The aftermatch drama is Paxley attacking Wendy Choo and putting her in a sleeper. Mm-hmm. Kalani doesn't get the back panel Marvel to be continued Easter egg after the match.
Right.
Wendy Choo does.
I mean, on some level, it closed the chapter on this one for Wendy and Kalani, so she can move something else. But yeah, the whole story becomes about Wendy Choo. She's undead. We don't know why she is. And then Tatum Paxley, to get her comeuppance, chokes her out. So you're like, is Wendy Choo going to be gone? Is Tatum Paxley a face? Is Wendy going to be a face? And the whole thing is over there, whereas you're going like, hey, guys, I'm the champ. Remember me?
Yeah. You know, I think it's important to serve the challenger and the undercard, but the champs, if the champs aren't eating, if they're not getting taken care of, like, this is not a good look for the company.
That's not a good, I mean, to be fair, Cody's in that situation too, right? Cody Rhodes is the guy with the big prize, but Cody's way more established. I think these problems get magnified because Kalani is so new, and it's not her fault. It's just, yeah, you're not Cody Rhodes. You don't have your dad, or you don't have your legacy built in. I'd say anything is wrong with that. And you're not anyone who's has a unique character or a unique moveset. Like, I can't think of Kalani's setup move or tertiary move either. So, like, it's again, what happened tonight is not her fault. She just set up to be the worst match of the night, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't know if they want to do this, but if they would have ended that and, you know, like Jordan Grace wants a shot with Kalani, you know what I mean? Like, they should have, I think, given all everything that they gave Wendy Chu, and then we're talking about what they gave Roxanne, I think that, like, Kalani now needs, we need something to look forward to. What's the horizon? We just passed the rest stop, and it's 15 miles to the next food, gas, and lodging, and you got to tell me there's a Red Robin there, or at least a Sonic, maybe an A&W, something for me to look forward to on this next long stretch of deserted road.
I like you put Red Robin above Sonic. That is not the case, sir. Sonic is A tier. It is S tier. Okay, ocean water slushes. I'm just putting it out there.
Okay,
but I will say this, because we have the appearance of a new performer later on in the show. If I had the pen, if you didn't have any plan for Kalani, you would buy yourself some time. Have Kalani walk backstage and say, Ava going, hey, Kalani, I need to talk to you about something in the office. There's a new mystery. There's a new chapter.
Something. But yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's like the Wendy Tatum thing. Now it's like, I thought before they were going to be a tag team, but now, no.
Right.
Or something. So we'll see what happens. Went right from this to Obafemi, the most dominant looking champion in all of professional wrestling, versus Tony D'Angelo for the North America Championship.
See how he gets it. Sonic is superior. Sorry. Sonic is superior.
I mean, am I wrong? Who in professional wrestling looks like they could believably beat Obafemi in a fight?
One-on-one, not much. Because you got to look, and I give Tony D'Angelo a bunch of credit here.
He did very well tonight.
He did, but he wouldn't consider Tony D, even though he has a bit of a meat on his bones, as a hoss. But he was able to work hoss to make this a really impactful match and gave Oba something a lot of people haven't done, and that's distance, right? 6 months ago, I thought it was going to be Josh Briggs. I thought he was going to be the heir apparent, the crown prince, the next chapter for the North American Championship. Had some key losses. He's off TV. He's no longer in the equation. And I'm looking at that landscape now in NXT. It's going to be Oba's kingdom to rule for the foreseeable future.
No, I think and Tony D'Angelo, the challenge is, where does he go from here? Does he take another run at the? I mean, Tony D'Angelo looks like he could beat up Ethan Page.
Ego. And we'll talk about this.
By the way, it was a very good match. It did more for Tony D, I think, than Oba, again, because you don't believe anybody can beat Oba. But the fact that Tony D looked like on a good day he could come within a hair of doing it is good for Tony. Tony's ticked all the boxes at this point, except the main championship.
Look, I got to be real with you. When I think about my favorite NXT talents, a lot of people be picked before I pick Tony D'Angelo. But Tony has become that Dolph Ziggler, man. You go back to a year ago, he was, or 2 years ago now, he was in that War Games match, Talk of the Town. At Stand and Deliver, he was in another profile match, was a Heritage Cup champion, and now was in the hair of becoming the North American Championship. So many missed opportunities. You can't keep calling yourself the Don when the big matches come, you're getting these out. So that's a problem that's brewing. Maybe not something needs to be solved this week, but if I had the pen, if I had the book, Tony D needs some dubs.
You know what would be interesting? I don't think they want to do this with Oba, because you don't want to undercut the Obamentum. That's a new phrase. I just coined it.
I like it. Obamentum.
Put it on shirt. You know what they could do with Ego, though? That would be good if Ego's reign goes on a little bit longer. I like the idea that Tony could get in his head and say, oh, yeah, you know, I've been betting on you this whole time. Or I take bets, so I've been running the books. So I might have greased a ref here or two. I might have paid an opponent to take a fall. Like, your championship is all because of me, and I'm making money off people betting against you. You know, like, Tony, you can't do that with Oba, but you could absolutely do that with Ego.
It is funny because we don't really know what Tony D'Angelo does.
He's a legitimate businessman in the sanitation business and owns a restaurant.
Is this sanitation? I know he owns a restaurant.
I thought it was sanitation business. I could have just pulled that out of every movie ever made.
You'd have no idea what he does. So sure. You know?
But yeah, I think Tony's no worse for wear losing here, but that's the problem. Tony's in that stage now where it's like the audience, he has his fan base. He's established as a pillar of the current NXT. so Tony doesn't have to win, which kind of sucks for fans of Tony because he just keeps getting, he gets like, I mean, it's the kind of position Sami Zayn was in for many years where it's like, there's no catharsis or joy in being a fan and seeing them get that win.
There's going to be a time where you have to fish and cut bait. And of course, as a wrestling fan, you want to see them fish. You want to see Tony Angel with the NXT Championship. You want to see what a run looks like. But very, very much like that, there are people that got close but haven't. Remember when Billy Gunn had that run in 99? Yeah. You thought he was going to be the next thing. It didn't work out. I worry that there's so many matches that Tony Angel's called upon, delivers, does what he's supposed to do, and doesn't get the win. I go, how can you honestly believe he can actually get it win out over time? And that's something you're going to see if he stakes in NXT.
But I'd like to see Riz as a Women's North American Championship.
True, true.
With Tony managing her. That would be good.
I can see that. I don't think it'll be perfect for Andrade Rizzo. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Which is why I hope some people are saying some of these new talents that they're bringing in who did not debut tonight, I hope they keep them away from the North American title picture. Because I feel like they're so established and so odds-on favorites to win their matches, we need to preserve the mid-card title as an opportunity for everyone else who's not going to be beating Julia, you know?
I suppose. Well, we'll get into the title picture on the NXT women's side, but yeah. I suppose. Yeah, you want to have as many people as possible. Shout out to Jero J in the chat. That right there, Oba Shatoria, that exquisite.
Oh, yeah, for the rest of it. Be good. I'm bummed. I'm gonna be in Orlando in October, and it's one of the weeks that they're on the road. I'm going to Disney. I'm going to Disney, and I was like, oh, it's one of the weeks NXT's on the road, so I was gonna go. Maybe I could go to the restaurant though, to Tony D's restaurant.
Absolutely. There's only one table in that entire restaurant, bro. I don't know how you're gonna see it.
I don't know. So Oba retained, and then we went to Roxanne Perez versus Jada Parker. I knew Roxanne was winning this, man, but I would have liked to have seen Jada get the win. She did such a good job, told such a good story in this match with the injuries, with the ribs. This was fierce. I really, really enjoyed this, and I wish it would have main evented.
This one here reminds me of those Royal Rumble matches where you know the champ is not going to drop the championship. They give a chance to somebody. I call it the Finn Balor match or something like that. Very clear. The IWC X and Threads has this as a match of the night and told a good story. If you're a Roxanne fan, everyone was saying, I can't believe she's bringing Jada Parker along. If you're a Jada Parker fan, everyone was saying, oh my gosh, she's already a star here. When you have someone like that, this is where you can afford to have that loss. So did I like Jada to win? Yes, but she came back with a rematch or another division. She already has that main event picture, much like Lexus King did a couple of months ago. So she's fine. The opposite of Tony D. But this right here was a complete story. Top to finish. The Prodigy shows everything. And of course, let's talk about it. There's a new challenger in the midst.
I mean, Jada did a phenomenal job with this match. And I think that there's the talent, you know, NXT says it. We say it, best women's division in all of wrestling. But it's like, man, if you look at the match tonight, this is just kind of proof positive again that they've got so many credible contenders for these titles. I think Roxanne is coming to her own. That you talk about gravitas a lot. She's got it now. The second run has been worlds above her first as far as establishing her as S tier in the women's division. And so after she wins tonight, the spotlight coming on and Julia coming out and confronting her is good. But I mean, the boldest thing NXT could do would be to have Julia lose her first challenge against Roxanne. But I don't think that's happening. I don't think you bring in a new talent. Asuka didn't lose her first match in NXT. Like, Julia is winning that championship and holding it for a very long time.
There's many ways to have someone not win their first attempt and not make sure you ruin their mystique, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah,
but
you have Stephanie show up and interfere and cost her, and then you have signing shows up and interferes and costs her.
I mean, they work for some promotions, right? But not seeing how today ended, No Mercy ended, this should have been the main event just because of what happened, stare down, how it was kind of like, you need to tune in Tuesday because we have a whole new thing. But yeah, if you are getting someone like Julia, you got to make sure you reintroduce her to NXT only fans and WWE only fans. So there's going to be some.
There's WWE only fans?
Oh, yeah. No, not like that. If so, shout out to JCJ. No, I'm kidding. She wouldn't be there. But yeah, you want to be able to reintroduce who she is, who they are to the people who don't watch those other promotions. So you have time. And so I think that's a good way to build a division that way.
And it would be HBK because he's a sexy boy.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Playgirl's own.
At this age, we're like starting OnlyFans.
Hands off the original merchandise.
Yeah. But no, I like the end of the. I mean, I like the match, but yeah, with Julia versus Roxanne, like they've got a lot invested in Roxanne. It will be very interesting to see which direction they go based on that. But I thought this was an amazing match. Yeah, my match of the night. Man, this should have gone last.
I have a hot take. No, I have.
Okay,
a hot
take. Please. Oh, please.
No,
please.
Your take is perfect. I mean, come on. This is why we have you in the show. You're the voice of NXT and Wrestling Inc. And I just ruined everything. But I still don't believe Roxanne Perez is a bad person. I think she's a sweetheart. I think she's a cutie pie. I think she's fine. Who's in a very nice personality. So I was like, yeah, you don't respect me because I'm evil. You're like, no, you're not. You're fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's wrong with being the Bret Hart of your division? What's wrong with having the technical move first, and you can, whether you like it or hate it, be up to the crowd? Why the whole mean girl stick of being like, I'm the prodigy? Yeah.
Well, but I mean, that's kind of her thing, though. Like, she's got to have.
She's done nothing evil. She doesn't break any rules. She just beats people up, technically and soundly. That's not something you want to boo. Let's go. Yeah, she beat your ass.
It's weird. And it's tough. It's tough to balance it correctly, I think. So, but yeah, I really like the end of this. I thought, here's my complaint about tonight. We didn't get enough change. Like, Wentz winning was really surprising in a good way. Mm-hmm. The tag title change was like, kind of like, meh, because a hot potato is never a shock, right?
Ridge Holland, man.
I know, and Ridge turning was kind of like, this is Chase, you deserves better than this storyline wise. Mm-hmm. Again, Thea Hale should have kicked everyone in the nuts. I'm just putting that out there again.
Chase needs to be unaccredited. Discredited?
Unaccredited. Yeah. And we should look at the interest rates that Andre Chase is charging on those student loans.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be some relief, some loans forgiven for Chase U. Going into the main event, we had Trick Williams come down the ring. He's the special guest referee. Ethan Page versus Joe Hendry. Great match. Some referee shenanigans, of course. Trick doing the slow count at the end. Ref gets knocked out. Joe Hendry had it, but he puts under the rope. This audience in Denver, Colorado, outside of the Performance Center.
Cheap pop.
In Denver, Colorado, they believe in Joe Hendry. Big time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I believe he is NXT bound when his contract with TNA is up next year. Do you think it was a mistake not having him win this match?
No, it was not a mistake to have him win this match, because I feel like this could be simmered a little bit more. As much as I like Joe Hendry, the idea of him being NXT champion, the actual circumstances that got him here was only 2 or 3 weeks. I want to see Joe Hendry chase. I want me to be proven that this guy is a real deal and not just an entrance, because I've been fooled before, again with Karrion Kross. Someone having a dope entrance and then just being kind of like milquetoast in the ring. Again, I am knocking the character Karrion Kross, not the guy who plays him.
You don't believe in the Final Testament?
I do not, because they don't quote any scripture. They're not saying anything religious. What
you open that book and it's all blank pages.
I what are we talking about? And why is Paul Ellery there?
It's all lorem ipsum.
Yes, what I'm saying. That is a typeface joke, which I appreciate. So I want the chase. You want to do that for Joe Hendry? Give me the chase. Make me believe in him actually winning. But I do think Denver was all about it, if that would be the case today.
Justify for me what an Ethan Page championship run does for NXT.
Stability. If you look at the NXT roster, with much of your love Trick Williams as the face champion, he really didn't have a rogues gallery to dispatch. You need a heel there to have a lot more faces on the men's side to go ahead. With Ethan Page, his character is heelness. He does cheat to win, as we saw today with the low blow, which is what you want to do. That's what heels do. They break the rules. It ain't flashy. It ain't sexy, but it definitely brings a whole roster together. We saw that in Triple H. We saw that with Ric Flair in his last couple runs. You kind of need that sometimes in some divisions.
Don't you think that with the NXT TNA era potentially coming to an end as NXT moves to the CW And I'm not saying that they're not, again, they're going to sign some TNA talents. That's going to definitely happen. But don't you think that Joe Hendry winning the NXT championship would have been the cherry on top of this era and signaled that we're about to enter truly a new chapter of NXT in a month? Because anything could happen. He doesn't have to hold it long. It just literally would say that for the next month, NXT is going to be a little unpredictable, and then we're going to get a new program on the CW.
Well, I say that that's something that you can actually do, but it doesn't have to be on a particular week or whatever. I think about like the 2.0 era. And if you think about it, the Dexter Lumis wedding was on the first episode of NXT 2.0, but we think of that as a 1.0 situation.
Oh, so it was the end of 1.0.
Yeah, it kind of was. It was in that gray area. You know what I mean? Yeah. Von Wagner was in the first ever main event of the NXT 2.0. What I'm saying is what you're saying could actually happen. It could happen in episode one or two of the CW shows. It could happen even in November, December.
I don't think they're putting TNA talents on CW.
I you know what? If you think about Joe Hendry, you think about him transferring over, I think he may be the exception.
Well, because I think they're going to sign him. But I think but him as champ. When they said tonight, whoever wins is going to defend it the first night of the CW, it's like, that's why I thought, oh, Joe Hendry's going to win, because that's going to pop a rating. No one's going to tune in to see CM Punk or whoever faces Ethan Page. Like, I mean, they'll watch it, but that's not Ethan Page. And I like Ethan Page, and I think his character is quite good, but Ethan Page, I don't think, has that kind of fan base that Trick Williams or Joe Hendry has.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, but I think the draw of the first episode of CW, CM Punk just showing the hell up, and whatever the hardware is being defended, you don't even need a defender at that point. You can basically have a game of Pong where the title represents one player. You know what I mean? I think people will just tune in for curiosity's sake.
Okay, I could see that. I thought this was a really good match, though, and Pete Dunne is tracking... attacking Trick Williams ahead of their match was interesting, because with Ethan, I'm like, man, who, again, it's kind of the same thing we talked about the North American title match. It's like, what's next for Joe Hendry? What's next for Ethan Page in that championship? You know, and they're just instead building up a match that we're going to see paid off in 48 hours when it's Pete Dunne versus Trick Williams.
Yeah, I mean, it is a kind of a weird letdown the way that kind of shook out. And even though I love everyone involved, but
yeah,
it does feel like a bit like homework. Like, okay, I guess we got to go through this, right? But, you know, what Trick Williams needed a decision on him. You're going to put him back in the NXT title division, or you're going to sit him down the card. You're going to have our answer. And then Pete Dunne is doing his whole repackaging thing too. So I get it. Again, coming after Julia is a bit of a letdown on the energy of the night, but it all serves a purpose. So I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I thought, that's the problem. That's NXT does this sometimes where they step up and step on their own pop. I mean, WWE does this, but NXT does this a lot. When the Julia thing happened with Roxanne, and you went, oh, this is the second to last match, they must have something really amazing planned for the end of this show.
Preach. Nah, they screwed themselves over for sure.
Yeah. And that's where, again, I really thought for a good 5 minutes, Joe Hendry was going to win. We would have confetti, we would have streamers. We would have a TNA talent come out and something happen. Like, it was like, this could have been a really big finish. And instead it was like, oh yeah, Pete Dunne and Trick, they're wrestling on Tuesday.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that's going to really shoot this show in the foot. Kalani Jordan should have been the second match, and this should have been the main event, should have been the penultimate match. Because, again, if you're Trick Williams, you take a ref bump, which to me is kind of funny, because the whole point of a ref bump is to show that you're not a wrestler. That's why it knocks you out. Whatever, you show up, why are you cutting off Adrian Butler's job? I mean, he is a referee and he's sanctioned. You did that anyway, you get in the way, and then you do the slow count. So I don't understand. It almost made it feel like something was going to happen, and when it didn't, it was like, all right, show's over, lights on, get the heck out, it's last call.
I mean, the crowd is into it. I mean, they had a good good turnout tonight, very healthy, packed packed audience in Denver.
Yeah, it's a good show. NXT is a good show.
It's a great show. My favorite show.
It is, but you also got to realize what you're getting as well. I know you can't compare it to New Japan. You can't compare it to an AEW show. But like last year, it was in Bakersfield. I drove up to Bakersfield to check it out.
Because that's right.
Like, hey, why the heck not? You know.
Yeah.
Pretty chill.
It was good though, man. And I was still. It's Labor Day weekend. It's an interesting weekend. Last night, so I didn't know this. Lobo, I don't think we've ever talked about this before, but for over 30 years now, coming up on 34 years, I've been fascinated by the Milli Vanilli scandal. And I love the documentary that came out last year on Paramount Plus that was really good. I didn't know the biopic, Girl, You Know It's True, got quietly sort of released in streaming and theaters 3 weeks ago. So I was browsing Amazon last night and I'm like, Girl, You Know It's True. I'm like, this is out. And so we watched it and it was a very serviceable music biopic, but I have to say it had like three or four segments that were A++ excellent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Why were you obsessed with the Milli Vanilli thing for over 30 years? I feel like you'd be obsessed. You would read about it and be over it.
No. Here's the great thing about the Milli Vanilli scandal. And I don't know how much you know about this.
The great thing. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the great thing is because you have Rob Story, Rob Politis, who's no longer with us. You have Fab Morvan Story, who looks like he hasn't aged a day in his version. You have Frank Farian, the producer. You have his story. You have the record label and people are like, we didn't know. Like everybody tells it so differently that every time, whether you go back to VH1's Behind the Music, it was the first Behind the Music, that and MC Hammer back in 1997, 8, 98. You go back to that. If you go to the documentary, if you go to every interview someone has given, if you go to this movie, there's always new details and you never know what's actually true and what's not because everybody's perspective is different on it. So it's a fascinating story because you always hear something, you always hear it differently. It is that thing where it's like every time somebody tells it, there's a new embellishment, there's a new wrinkle, and you're just like, wait, I didn't know if that was true. And so I'm watching the movie, I'm like, yeah, but they're covering over this, and they're not talking about this, and they're not talking about this. But then they drop that, like, Rob, I don't want to spoil it, but they drop some details about Rob Pilatus' life, and I was like, I didn't knew that before. I would say this about it, if people, are on the fence about watching it. There was a scene that I absolutely loved where they have Frank Farian, the producer, and in the movie, there's a lot of breaking the fourth wall and people talking to the camera. But they have Frank Farian walking you through. I thought this was the best scene in the movie. Walking you through the actual band. And it's like, I got this guy. And then I got this guy who likes to eat his cake and has asthma, so he can't perform live. And then I have these sisters. And I have this drummer and this like incredibly white band. And it's like, so then tell me, would you have watched our music videos and bought our t-shirts? I didn't think so. And it's like my favorite scene in the entire movie as he's explaining why he had to get these two guys to be the face of the band.
Okay. So about NXT, I don't get the connection.
No, because I'm just coming down off that last night. Today I was like,
I thought you were like, well, actually, the CW. Oh, sorry.
No. So I think about it because sometimes we exist, especially on a weekend, and this is the problem with a PLE.
Okay.
Is we exist in the context of our weekend a lot of the time.
Fair enough.
Tonight it's kind of like, so I watched that last night. Like I said, I watched The Boy today, and then I watched Tender Mercies. So I was actually, my palate was cleansed a little bit on this, but I knew the Julia thing was going to happen. I thought we might see Stephanie and some other people pop up. The challenge rocks, and I thought when we get a bigger moment, but it was sort of like, when NXT does these PLEs and they're not doing it at home and they're going on the road and they're in Denver and we got the C-Dub coming up. It's like my expectations actually were pretty high. And I feel that, you know, sometimes we're the prisoner of our own expectations and we're kind of fighting against that. So I think that being said, it was a good PLE. The highs were very high. There was a lot of like, yeah, okay, that's good. Like there's nothing bad about it, but it was just that, you know, as we're getting into this home stretch, like in my mind, the CW debut cannot come quickly enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Gotta give a shout out to Ray J's World and that super chat. Cause I think he's with the same boat you're doing. I mean, look, CW is going to be a thing. We don't really know what that means. I know CW is doing more of a sports based kind of thing with their golf and their football stuff. So I'm kind of curious to see what it's going to be about that as well. But yeah, I'm ready for some new characters. I'm ready for a new look, maybe an official opening package. It's been years. NXT, let me get hype for your show. I'm all looking forward to that change, you know?
Yes. And, speaking of Milli Vanilli, we know that the Road Dogg Jeff Jarrett storyline.
The Road Dogg. Jeff Jarrett. Oh, yes. The Roadie, right?
Yeah. That was all. That was all Milli Vanilli inspired.
Oh.
I'm trying to find a way to tie it in.
No, but you're absolutely right about being a prisoner of the weekend. I know when I was a kid, I was a big SummerSlam guy, and SummerSlam is my favorite pay-per-view of the year or PLE of the year because of that. Because it was summertime, summer vibes. You're still out from school. You and your boys, they kind of hung around. You didn't watch the PLE. You went to bed, kind of did a sleepover thing. It was amazing. So I always loved that. Always gives me the warm and fuzzies. And even though we're kind of spoiled now with these Saturday shows and sometimes Friday shows, having a classic Sunday evening pay-per-view is kind of a throwback.
Yeah, I mean, it's good it's on a holiday, too. I think that helps because it makes it feel kind of like in between. We had Bash in Berlin yesterday. But to Ray J's World point with a $5 super chat saying the he thinks the TNA partnership's continuing in the CW. Shawn Michaels says something big with TNA is coming. I mean, it will not surprise me. I'll say this for the upteenth time on the show. It will not surprise me if they buy a piece of TNA. It will not surprise me if they do rebrand the UFC Apex to the Performance Center West. And I do think the WWE Hall of Fame will have a physical presence in a Las Vegas hotel and casino announced within the next year. Probably WrestleMania.
Why would you put WWE in Las Vegas? I mean, I get the P at the Performance Center because that's already been rumored, but the Hall of Fame for WWE being a northern territory, being in Las Vegas, just seems so wrong.
Because you and I didn't talk about this, but for those that are tuning in that have not heard me say this, and we got a big audience tonight. So let me tell you the reason why.
Glenn.
WWE, like with the world, like running a restaurant or operating something, that's not their core business. They will lose a lot of money if they do that. But if you look at, they just sold Raw rights to Netflix for $1 billion. They sell PLE rights to Peacock for money. They sell TV rights to now the CW and USA Network. If they were to start a Hall of Fame, that's a terrible business decision. But if MGM or Caesars, the two companies that own the Las Vegas Strip, if one of them came to WWE and said, we're going to make you a $1 billion 10-year deal to license the WWE Hall of Fame as a physical location.
Right.
We'll run the restaurant. We will pay you that money, and then we will give you a percentage of receipts on everything. That's one of the last things WWE has left to sell. You know, with the Saudi Arabia deal, they found something new to sell in saying, we're going to go do these events there. With Mania, they're looking for the highest bidder. This is a quick way that Nick Khan can get $1 billion on the balance sheets for the next decade. Pop the stock price, do something for the fans, and give the Hall of Fame. I think actually make it more legitimate because it's got physical space in Las Vegas. If you look at the other day in that drama about is the Performance Center moving to Vegas, and they're like, oh, no. They were just saying it's important that we have a presence in Vegas. When WWE is saying it's important, when Shapiro is saying it's important, so we have a presence in Vegas, like Hall of Fame, Apex, UFC's already here. I'm telling you. This just makes all the sense in the world to me.
I think business-wise, you're hit the nail on the head. I mean, that's how they would approach it. But I still don't think Vegas would be a spot for a Hall of Fame. Maybe I'm just speculating because you look at the Florida thing. Yeah, they've got a shout-out to having wrestling be determined an essential business during COVID. I think they're going to have ties to Florida indefinitely just as a kind of a solid. A thank you for that. And WWE being a northern territory, I'm sure they can find a developer on the East Coast to do that. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just feel like having their Hall of Fame out there seems so out of character for them. But you're absolutely right about the whole licensing thing.
Well, and that's the thing. A Vegas casino, because they have their gambling money as their core business. Mm-hmm. Vegas casino, WWE is going to be cash flow positive from day one. If they do it anywhere else, they're not going to trust me. Unless it was like Foxwoods in Connecticut. But again, it'd be another casino. Foxwoods actually would make sense. But Foxwoods is a singular destination, whereas Vegas is more, you just come to Vegas and you go and you do a lot of things in Vegas.
True.
You know? So I don't know, something to think about. Now, Ray J with a $2 super chat, Ray J's World, which makes me think of Brandy's brother, Ray J. Do people still refer to him? I always think of him as Brandy's brother.
I mean, he kind of become infamous on his own, if you know what I mean.
Everyone loves those headphones.
Raycon or whatever it is.
Yeah, Raycon. But he's saying TNA, NXT, Invasion, PLE. I think that ship has sailed. If they were going to do that, that would have been tonight. That would have been
Battleground. Worlds collide. It wouldn't be an invasion. It would be like here's our thing. We're having this match. We're having this card.
Yeah. And they wouldn't do that on a TNA pay-per-view.
No, they wouldn't.
But we'll see. Well, there you have it. Maybe I'll watch that Milli Vanilli movie again tonight.
No, you won't. No,
good. Remember, maybe I'll watch Brahms the Boy 2.
That's something you would watch.
That's possible. I have a weird craving for ice cream.
Oh, you deserve it, man.
That's what I tell myself all the time. Mm-hmm. So what I did, Flobo, this is the holiday weekend. I know our audience, enjoys life and hedonists, if you will. So what I did, I like to have popcorn as my last meal of the day often because it's very filling and it's very fiber-rich, and I like to put a little of the vegan butter on it. What I tried doing that was different, I think I talked about before. In the past, I've tried putting a 3-to-1 ratio of butter to soy sauce, like a teaspoon of soy sauce.
You're the soy sauce guy. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So tonight, tablespoon of butter, teaspoon of kimchi juice.
Okay.
Vegan very kimchi. Tasty. Yeah, vegan kimchi. It was very tasty. And it's like spicy, savory umami popcorn.
See, you mentioned this before, the kimchi soup. Yeah. But you mentioned the soy sauce popcorn before, and I'm like, is it a soup at that point? Like, what
no,
do you?
No, no, no. Is it with butter?
Are you using a spray bottle? Like,
no, I'm not using any more liquid. I'm adding it to the butter. Let me be clear about that. You add it to the butter, you stir it well, and you drizzle it just like you drizzle butter.
So, okay, so what's it's like one part butter, half part
sauce? No. It's three parts butter, one part soy sauce.
And how much kimchi?
Kimchi, I just put in a teaspoon of the juice.
A teaspoon. Okay.
Teaspoon to a tablespoon. Just to give it a little. Just to give it a little spice.
I guess I'm not knocking it, but I can never picture it. It's like if I was AI, the prompt would explode. I'm like, what?
No. Well, I found out about this because we were watching that on Tokyo Disneyland, and flavored popcorn is all the rage at Tokyo Disneyland. Their most popular flavor is soy sauce and butter.
Okay.
And you look at it, and it's like this brownish yellow popcorn.
Again, yeah. I would have to see it. I have to see your OnlyFans, the content.
Post. And just be photos of different flavored popcorn.
Because I cannot think, because I guess, you know, I'm trying to put things together, but I can't think of it.
Yeah. But I recommend that. Dave, to your question, it was shot down about the Performance Center moving to Vegas. But again, not moving, but I do think they will rename both performance centers is the TKO Performance Center, and they'll be West and East, and NXT will still be based out of the East Coast. But I think they're going to do, by the way, here's the funny thing, and no one picked up on this, Flobo. Sometimes I feel like people that watch this podcast are getting so much extra insight, because sometimes we realize things that other people don't realize, or we do a little research. Okay. Everyone was shooting this down. And then I was like, oh yeah, because I live in Vegas. I remember this. The Apex is shutting down in November, and they're doing like a $10 million renovation.
Oh.
So again, they can split that cost between UFC and WWE if TKO says WWE can do some stuff here too.
Yeah.
Not going to replace Orlando, but I think it's part of a natural expansion.
Like I said, they owe the Florida government way too much up and leave like that. But I'm pretty sure they're going to have a satellite campus out there.
Yeah. And Dave, to your point, we'll end on this. I thought they were doing this with Karrion Kross. We got the video package of Black and Gold Never Dies, Black and Gold NXT versus NXT 2.0. I think the reason they decided not to do that angle more so is that they think it's probably too nerdy, too inside, and too going backwards.
Like going after the NIL talents. Besides, what does 2.0 mean anymore? Because they don't even say that 2.0 designation anymore, right? So
yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. There you have it, folks. So, yes, and Bernie saying that renovation will be done by April. I'm telling you, Mania. Look, WWE is not going to leave the city of Las Vegas Mania Week and not announce something else they're doing with the city ongoing. I'm saying it's going to be Apex and Hall of Fame. That's my prediction.
Hall of Fame is going to be a big one. I'll be surprised if that Hall of Fame gets out there.
And it could happen in 2027.
Yeah, for sure. Because in 26, they're going to Minneapolis because of fire right now.
Every time I see that promo, I think of you.
So dumb.
They showed it tonight. They showed it tonight. Yes. Okay, Flobo's at Flobo Boys. I'm at Glenn Rubenstein, everybody. Have a great rest of your holiday weekend. I'll be back Tuesday. Are you here Tuesday?
I'm here all week, man. I'm doing Raw, NXT, Dynamite, and SmackDown next week.
Okay, we're going to be here Tuesday to talk about NXT. Tomorrow night, Raw. Catch you later.
Girl, you know it's true. Girl, you know it's girl. You know it's girl. You know.
See you next time on the Wrestling Inc. Take care.
Billy Vanilli.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.